بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين. أما بعد، the author he mentioned رحمه الله تعالى باب ما جاء في شهادة الزور. باب ما جاء في شهادة الزور. The chapter with regards to that which has come about false testification, giving false testimony and bearing witness to something while one is lying and he knows that. Shahadatu Az-Zur. Ibn Hajar rahimahullahu ta'ala, he mentioned about Az-Zur, that he says, wadabitu Az-Zur wasfu al-shay على خلاف ما هو عليه. وصف الشيء على خلاف ما هو عليه. And from that likewise, and in the same meaning, التزوير الشيء المزور, something that has been fabricated and is counterfeit, and it's made to seem real and it's not real. So Ibn Hajar, he mentioned the ضابطه الزور, يعني the principle with regards to knowing that which is زور. And here, which the chapter is about testifying to Zur, he says it is to describe something contrary to what it is upon in reality. And this is the meaning of Zur. So, and Zur, it is al-kathib wal-batil. This is the meaning of the word Zur, al-kathib wal-batil. Yani lying and falsehood. Lying and falsehood. So, shahadat Zur is false testification. It is to bear witness to something and to lie about that. That a person, he will bear witness that he has a right, or that someone else has a right, or he will bear witness that someone does not deserve a right, or he will bear witness to something, yet he will not be truthful in that. And maybe he will bear witness to something that is truthful, but he will be deceptive with regards to that. He will be deceptive and he will not describe the situation entirely as it should be. All of this is considered shahadat al-zur. And whether he gave testimony to something that he knows is a lie, he affirmed a right for himself or for someone else while he knows that they do not deserve it, or he denied the right from someone while he knows that they deserve it, this is called shahadat al-zur. Or even if he had affirmed something that is truthful, but he distorted the image of that and he portrayed it in a manner that was not truthful and not honest, and he changed that to where it's not understood properly, and then he got all right because of this in his testimony, and he testified to the likes of this, all of this is considered his shahadat al-zur. So here Ibn Hajar, he mentioned, rahimahullah, وَضَابِتُ الزُّورِ وَصْفُ الشَّيْءِ عَلَى خِلَافِ مَا هُوَ عَلَيْهِ, to describe something contrary to what it is upon in reality. To describe something contrary to what it is upon reality. So they have, with regards to this, قول الزور, قول الزور, the statement of زور, which is الكاذب wa al-batil, and he is lies and giving false information, and he's speaking with lies and speaking with words that are dishonest or deceptive and not truthful. All of this is considered zur. Likewise, we have shahadat al-zur, like the chapter here, and this is specific with testifying and giving false testification. Also, the actions, some of them have been described with this word likewise as zur. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he mentioned about the woman, yani, who attaches her fake hair to her hair, who has the hair attachments and the likes like that. This is considered shi'ar al-mawsur. This is zur. This is a type of zur. This is a type of lie. And this is falsehood. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He has praised the people who do not bear witness to these affairs and do not witness that likewise. وَالَّذِينَ لَا يَشْهَدُونَ الزُّورِ وَالَّذِينَ لَا يَشْهَدُونَ الزُّورِ, in His praise. Subhanahu wa ta'ala, for the righteous slaves of Ar-Rahman, and from their beautiful and noble attributes is that they do not bear witness to zur. And what has been mentioned about this, la yashhaduna, yani shahadat zur, they do not give false witness, they do not give false testimony. Also, what has been mentioned in the tafsir of this, la yashhaduna zur, yani la yahduruna majalis al-batil wa la yahduruna majalis al-su. And the likes like this, they do not attend the gatherings of falsehood, and they do not attend the gatherings of evil. And likewise, what has been intended here, يعني لا يشهدون الذين لا يشهدون الزور, يعني آيات للمشركين. They do not witness zur. They do not witness evil and falsehood. What has been mentioned about the interpretation of this is that it is intended here as zur, the celebrations of the pagans, the celebrations of the pagans, and likewise from them the Jews and the Christians, those false religious ceremonies. And so all of this has been included here, and from the word zur. From the word zur, and to fabricate something and to lie, and to change the image of something and to be deceptive and to be dishonest and not truthful. So here, with regards to this issue now, is to bear witness specifically, to bear witness, and this is even more severe. This is even more severe. So qawl az-zur is haram, in a foul way. Any of the statements of evil and the statements of falsehood. And likewise, the fi'l az-zur, this actions of zur, likewise, of evil and falsehood, all of this is a foul way. But even more severe, shahadat az-zur, to falsely bear witness and to testify in falsehood for the right of something. And this is because it is changing the reality of the affairs. And it is giving someone a right who does not deserve it, and violating the rights of others in this manner, and making the truth seem to be falsehood, and falsehood seem to be truth. In this manner, whenever a person, he bears witness and he testifies to something and he's lying, then he's taking the right of another person and is making it seem outwardly that he has the right to that. And it's making it outwardly seem likewise that the other person, he is upon falsehood and he does not deserve that. So it's changing the reality of the affairs, and it's violating the rights of the people, and he's making the truth seem like falsehood and the falsehood seem like truth, and violating the rights of the people. So therefore, this is a very severe affair. So the author, he says, Babu ma ja'a fi shahadat az-zur, the chapter with regards to that which has come, and he means from the great threat and the wording and the clarification of the prohibition of this affair, and that is from the major sins. Yani ma ja'a fi shahadati az-zur wa qawli Allahi ta'ala, and the statement of Allah the Most High, wajtanibu qawla az-zur, wajtanibu qawla az-zur, an ayah. So the author, he mentioned a portion of a verse in Surah Al-Hajj. In Surah Al-Hajj, yani before this portion of the verse, فَاجْتَنِبُوا الرِّجْزَ مِنَ الْأَوْثَانِ وَاجْتَنِبُوا قَوْلَ الزُّورِ. فَاجْتَنِبُوا الرِّجْزَ مِنَ الْأَوْثَانِ. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, first he ordered in this verse in the beginning, so therefore stay away from and avoid. Leave off, stay away from and avoid the arrijz, the filth, from the idols, and you stay away from shirk in entirety. Stay away from shirk in entirety, and the filth and the disgustingness of shirk. Stay away from that. فَاجْتَنِبُوا الرِّجْزَ مِنَ الْأَوْثَانِ الرِّجْزَ مِنَ الْأَوْثَانِ وَاجْتَنِبُوا قَوْلَ الزُّورِ. And also stay away and avoid the false statements. The false statements. So the people of knowledge have mentioned that which clarifies the danger of this false testification, and this false statement, the statement of az-zur, and that which is included first and foremost in qawl az-zur, shahadat az-zur, any of the false testimonies, that here it's coupled with the prohibition of shirk. So first Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he ordered to stay away from and to avoid shirk, to avoid polytheism and paganism, you need to avoid the idols and stay away from them entirely. And then after that, mentioning that one should likewise as well, along with avoiding and staying away from the filthy idols, any of the idols that are for the pagans and the false gods of the polytheists and the likes, to stay away from the false statements. To stay away from the false statements. حُنَفَاءَ لِلَّهِ غَيْرَ مُشْرِكِينَ بِهِ. And Allah, He even continues to verify after this that they should be sincere and pure in their intentions. يعني حُنَفَاءَ لِلَّهِ, that they are from the muwahideen, those who dedicate themselves entirely with sincere and pure intention in devotion to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, not associating partners with Him whatsoever. So the fact that this issue here is coupled with the mention of shirk, this is an indication of the severity of this affair. This is an indication of the severity of this affair. The author, he says, عَنِ بِنِ عُمَرَ رَضِيَ اللَّهُ عَنْهُمَا مَرْفُوعًا. And it has been narrated by Ibn Umar رَضِيَ اللَّهُ عَنْهُمَا from the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He said, إِنَّ الطَّيْرَ لَتَخْفُقُ بِأَجْنِحَتِهَا وَتَرْمِي مَا فِي حَوَاصِلِهَا مِنْ حَوْلِ يَوْمِ الْقِيَامَةِ وَإِنَّ شَاهِدَ الزُّورِ لَا تَزُولُ قَدَمَاهُ حَتَّى يَتَبَوَّأَ مَقْعَدَهُ مِنَ النَّارِ. He mentioned a narration from Ibn Umar radiallahu anhuma that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that verily a bird it will beat its wings, it would fly and beat its wings, and it would cast off that which is in its belly, yani from that which is in its womb, from the terrors of the day of resurrection, from the terrors of the day of resurrection. And verily, the one who bears witness, the one who bears false testification, then his feet will not move. His feet will not move on that day likewise until he prepares his seat in the hellfire. Until he prepares and takes his own seat and abode in the hellfire. The people of knowledge have mentioned that this narration has a weak chain. This narration has a weak chain. But the affairs mentioned are affairs that are correct, and there are evidences that testify to the truthfulness of these affairs. From that, what Allah has mentioned in Surah Al-Hajj, يَا أَيُّهَا النَّاسِ اتَّقُوا رَبَّكُمْ إِنَّ زَلَزَلَةِ السَّاعَةِ شَيْءٌ عَظِيمٌ يَوْمَ تَرَوْنَهَا تَذْهَلُ كُلُّ مُرْضِعَةٍ عَمَّا أَرْضَعَتْ وَتَضَعُ كُلُّ ذَاتِ حَمْلٍ حَمْلَهَا وَتَرَى النَّاسَ سُكَارَى وَمَا هُمْ بِسُكَارَى وَلَكِنَّ عَذَابَ اللَّهِ شَدِيدٌ وَلَكِنَّ عَذَابَ اللَّهِ شَدِيدٌ. So this mentioned here, yani the fact that the terrors of Yawm Al-Qiyamah, on the Day of Judgment, on the Day of Resurrection, that every woman who every breastfeeding woman, she will have no concern about her child, and every woman or every female likewise that is pregnant, they will lay their load out of the fear of the frights and the terrors that will occur on the day of resurrection, which is similar to that which is mentioned here. And as for the evidence of the author, that this person who testifies to Azur, then he will prepare his own seat in the hellfire, then this is something that is known. This is from the major sins. This is from the major sins. But no doubt the chain of this narration, the chain of this narration is weak. After this, the author, he says, وَلَهُمَا مِنْ حَدِيثِ أَبِي بَكْرَةَ رَضِيَ اللَّهُ عَنْهُ أَلَا وَقَوْلُ الزُّورِ أَلَا وَشَهَادَةِ الزُّورِ. The author, he mentioned the narration of Abi Bakrata radiallahu anhu, that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, أَلَا وَقَوْلُ الزُّورِ أَلَا وَشَهَادَةِ الزُّورِ فَمَا زَالَ يُكَرِّرُهَا حَتَّى قُلْنَا لَيْتَهُ سَكَتَ. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is warning, and likewise the statement of falsehood, and also the false testification or the false testimony. And then Abu Bakrata radiallahu anhu, he says that he continued to repeat this until we said to him, oh, if he would only be quiet. And meaning out of pity for him, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And this narration has proceeded, yani in the beginning of this work, and the entire narration, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, أَلَا أُنَبِّئُكُمْ بِأَكْبَرِ الْكَبَائِرِ. Should I not inform you of the greatest of the major sins? And we have seen previously that from the benefits of this is to clarify that the sins are more than one type. There are major sins and there are minor sins. And likewise, from the benefits of this portion here, which have proceeded as well, is that the major sins, likewise, they're not all one rank and level. Rather, some of the major sins are even more severe and major than others. أَلَا أُنَبِّئُكُمْ بِأَكْبَرِ الْكَبَائِرِ. So we have the kabair, and then we have أَكْبَرِ الْكَبَائِرِ. There are major sins, and then there are the greatest and most severe of the major sins from them in this narration here. قُلْنَا بَلَا يَا رَسُولُ اللَّهِ. So Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, he says, of course, O Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, قال الإشراك بالله وعقوق الوالدين وكان متكئا فجلس فقال ألا وقول الزور وشهادة الزور فما زال يقولها حتى قلت ليته سكتا. So the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he informed them, and he said to associate partners with Allah, and then to disobey the parents. And then he was leaning back, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and he reclining this whole time. He was mentioning these affairs, and then he sat up, and indicating the severity of this issue likewise. And he said, indeed, the false statement, and verily the false testimony. And he continued to repeat this like this, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, over and over and over, until Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, he says, that he continued to say it until I said, if he would only be quiet. يعني إشفاقا له شفقة عليه صلى الله عليه وسلم. They said this out of pity for him, because the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم, he's relaxing. And then whenever this statement came, he began to repeat it and to repeat it and to emphasize this affair. And it was very clear, يعني, how serious the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم had become, until they had pity on him, and out of how much he is displaying his his concern for this affair, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So they said it like this, and if he would only be quiet and calm down so that this issue would not disturb him like this. And they said that out of pity. So the point is that, no doubt, to associate partners with Allah is the greatest of all sins and the most severe. But the fact that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he's relaxing. And then whenever this portion came, he sat up. And to emphasize this affair. And this is because many people, they're aware of shirk. And it's clear for them, associating partners with Allah Azza wa Jal. And Islam, it removes that entirety. The true and correct Islam, it removes the shirk entirety. And the people of not, as they mentioned, likewise, the one who has muru'ah, and the one who has manhood and honor and respect, then likewise this would be a means to prohibit him from disobeying and violating the rights of his parents as well. But many people, they're negligent with regards to false testimonies. But many people, they're negligent with regards to bearing, a false witness. Many times, a person, he will bear false witness because of enmity that he has for somebody. Because of enmity and hatred that he has in his heart for a person, he will bear false witness against that person. And the likes like this, and this will carry him and to lie in his testimony and to bear witness falsely and to be unjust in this and that. And likewise, another thing that would carry a person to fall into this affair is al-hasad. The first one, al-adawah, and the enmity and hatred and rancor that a person has in his heart for somebody will carry him to bear a false witness against him, to stop him from his right, to prohibit him from his right because of the hatred he has for him and the animosity he has for him. Likewise, al-hasad. Likewise, the people of not, as they mentioned, jealousy. So maybe somebody who have jealousy in his heart, and this jealousy will carry him to bear false witness against that person. He will carry him to bear false witness against that person. And maybe he's somebody who does not associate partners with Allah. Or even maybe he's somebody who is kind to his parents, and he establishes those rights that are mentioned before. But with regards to bearing false witness, then he takes this affair lightly. And he will falsely testify against individuals out of enmity or out of jealousy, or likewise from the reasons and the means of a person to bear false witness, ash-shahwa al-muharrama, to have these impermissible lusts and desires. A person, he will want something so bad, and until he will bear false witness, and he will testify falsely. And this happens in a number of ways. You need to get something that he's hoping for, or to prohibit somebody from what they're hoping for, and their rights, and the likes like this. Somebody who will sign on a dotted line, yani falsely, he will lie, yani, and bear false witness. And in the line, it says, he testified that everything above is truthful and correct. And he'll sign his name right away. And he'll be a lie. And there will be deception in those above statements. And he was not truthful in that. And he will be quick to sign falsely and bear false witness with his signature in order to get that right that he's hoping for, in order to get that benefit and the likes like this. So this is something that is very serious. As the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he set up in this manner, clarified and repeated over and over and over. And also it's mentioned here, the greatest of the major sins, coupled with shirk as well, again in this narration, coupled with a mention of shirk, again in this narration, like in the verse that had preceded. So this is, a dangerous affair, that a person, he will bear false witness, or he will not be truthful in entirety. Again, either he will lie entirely and he will affirm something that he knows is false, or he'll deny something that he knows is truthful, or he will affirm something that is truthful, but he will not affirm it properly. He'll describe it in a manner that's not truthful entirely. And he will not be honest in the description of that affair. And he will deceive, and he will use trickery and the likes like this, and then he will testify. He will testify for this. So this is a major affair. This is not something light. Testifying on tax papers, for example, about this such and such and such and such, and a person, he knows he's lying in order to get a dollar, or testifying in courts and the likes like this against a husband or a wife, a husband against a wife and the likes like this, testifying falsely to the lawyers and to the judges, and just because they want to get some money, or they want to get back at their spouse, or whatever the case may be, or they want to have control over the children, and it's not going in their way. So all they have to do is bear false witness and make a false testimony and the likes like this. Or somebody will help them. Another reason why it's emphasized here, maybe somebody, he himself, he's not actually benefiting. Maybe somebody will think it's not a big deal because he himself is not actually benefiting from it, but he will testify on behalf of somebody else. And the other person is the one who will benefit. The other person is the one who will get the right, but he will come and testify for them while he knows they don't deserve it. And so he'll think that maybe he takes it lightly because it doesn't have anything to do with him. He's just testifying like this. He's not getting the right. He's not getting the money. It's not coming to him directly, but he's bearing witness and he's participating in that and he's testifying falsely. So likewise, he has the threat of this affair. So this is from the major sins. This is from the major sins that must be avoided. Ijtanibu qawla zur. Ijtanibu, yani stay away from it and leave it off and avoid it entirely. And from the worst of the statements of zur, shahadatu azur. The author, he says, بَابُ مَا جَاءَ فِي الْيَمِينَ الْغَمُوسِ بَابُ مَا جَاءَ فِي الْيَمِينَ الْغَمُوسِ. The chapter with regards to that which has come to الْيَمِينَ الْغَمُوسِ. الْيَمِينَ, here what is intended, الْحَلِفِ, you need to swear, to take an oath. الْغَمُوسِ, this is from الْغَمْس. الْغَمْس, any, is whenever you dip something, to put something. تَغْمِسُ شَيْئًا فِي الْمَاءِ, for example. You put something in water, you dip it in the water until it's engulfed in water. So something that's مَغْمُوس أو مُنْغَمِس in شَيْء is something that's completely engulfed in something. So the people of knowledge, they say that here, this type of swearing here, this oath that's being made here, is called الْيَمِينَ الْغَمُوسِ. لِأَنَّهَا تَغْمِسُ صَاحِبَهَا فِي الْإِثْمِ ثُمَّ فِي النَّارِ. ثُمَّ فِي النَّارِ, because this type of swearing, this type of oath here, it will cause a person to be engulfed in sin. Yani it causes him to fall into sin, yani entirely. And likewise, after that, to be engulfed in the fire, and that he will be cast in the hellfire. So here, الْيَمِينَ الْغَمُوسِ is whenever a person, he will take an oath and swear by Allah that he has a right and he doesn't have the right. Or he'll swear by Allah that so-and-so has a right and he knows they don't have the right. And he will swear by Allah to take somebody else's right. He will swear by Allah to take somebody else's right while he knows he's lying. Or he will swear by Allah to prohibit somebody else their right while he knows he's lying. And he himself, he's lying. But he swears by Allah to do this. Many times, the people who are involved in business, many times they'll swear by Allah. And likewise the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he mentioned this specifically, yani about those people, that the only way they're able to sell their commodity and their items is because they'll swear by Allah. He was one of them, I swear, he'll swear by Allah, he got the item for this much. And that's why the price is this much. And he's lying, and he knows he's lying. And he's only swearing by Allah in this manner in order for the person to believe him to purchase his item. Or he'll swear by Allah that it's brand new and it's not brand new. Or he'll swear by Allah about such and such and such and such, about his items, or about the things that he has to sell and the likes like this, while he's lying. And the likes like this. All of this is considered al-yamin al-ghamus. Or he'll swear by Allah that so-and-so owes him money. Or he'll swear by Allah that he paid so-and-so and he doesn't owe them money anymore. He paid his debt. Or he'll swear by Allah that so-and-so paid their debt. Or they swear by Allah that so-and-so owes so-and-so money. And the likes like this. Any? So it's similar to that false testification, but here is with regards specifically to swearing by Allah with regards to that. He'll say, Wallahi, that this right is mine and it's not his. He says, I swear by Allah, the right is not his. What is his? And the likes like this. So this is also from those major sins. So the author, he says, عن ابن مسعود رضي الله عنه مرفوعة من حلف على مال امرئ مسلم بغير حقه لقي الله وهو عليه غضبان ثم قرأ علينا رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم إن الذين يشترون بعهد الله وإيمانهم ثمنا قليلا. So the author, he mentioned the narration of Abdullah bin Mas'ud رضي الله عنه, that the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم, he said, من حلف على مال امرئ مسلم بغير حقه, the one who swore who swore by Allah Azza wa Jal to take the property of a Muslim person without right, لقي الله وهو عليه غضبان, then he will meet Allah, and whenever he meets Allah, then Allah will be angry with him. Then Allah will be angry with him. And then the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he read to them, إِنَّ الَّذِينَ يَشْتَرُونَ بِعَهْدِ اللَّهِ وَأَيْمَانِهِمْ ثَمَنًا قَلِيلًا. verily, those who purchase by way of the covenant of Allah and their oaths a cheap price. And the verse continues, أُولَٰئِكَ لَا خَلَقَ لَهُمْ فِي الْآخِرَةِ وَلَا يُكَلِّمُهُمُ اللَّهُ وَلَا يَنْظُرُ إِلَيْهِمْ يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ وَلَا يُزَكِّيهِمْ وَلَهُمْ عَذَابٌ أَلِيمٌ وَلَهُمْ عَذَابٌ أَلِيمٌ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He mentioned in this verse in Surah Ali Imran that indeed those who purchase, yani they gain by way of their covenant, their covenant with Allah, and by way of their oaths, a cheap price, a small or a little measly price, these they لا خلاق لهم في الآخرة. They have no portion in the hereafter. They have no portion in the hereafter. So this is a great threat again. They have no portion in the hereafter. Meaning no portion of the mercy of Allah and His pleasure. No portion of the paradise. لا خلاق لهم يعني لا نصيب لهم في الآخرة. ولا يكلمهم الله ولا ينظر إليهم. And Allah, He will not speak to them. And likewise, He will not look at them. Meaning with mercy. Subhanahu wa ta'ala, on the day of resurrection, and he will not purify from them from their sins. Meaning He will not forgive them or pardon them. And He will not purify them for their sins. Rather, He will take them to account for their sins. وَلَهُمْ عَذَابٌ أَلِيمٌ. And they will have a painful punishment. So this is a great threat for the one who swears by Allah to take the wealth and property of another person. Here, عَلَى مَالِ إِمْرِئٍ مُسْلِمٍ. The people of knowledge, they mention even if he's not a Muslim. Likewise, the ruling is included. And the one who swears by Allah Azza wa Jalla to unrightfully take the right of the wealth or property of a Muslim, this is what the narration mentions. The people of knowledge, they mention even if it's a non-Muslim, to somebody who swears by Allah to unrightfully take the wealth of a non-Muslim, of a Jew or a Christian, or even a pagan and the likes like this. This is also not allowed. And also the same threat applies for him. لَقِيَ اللَّهَ وَهُوَ عَلَيْهِ غَضْبَانٍ. That he will meet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and Allah will be angry with him. وَلِيَذُ بِاللَّهِ. This is the worst of all failures. That a person, he will live a life and then die and meet the anger of Allah. That a person, he will live a life and then he will die. And whenever he meets his Lord will be angry with him. وَلِيَذُ بِاللَّهِ. وَلِيَذُ بِاللَّهِ. This narration is in Bukhari and in Muslim. And it has a reason for the revelation. The reason for the revelation of this verse. And the coming of this narration. The reason for the revelation of the verse and the reason for the coming of the narration. These are two different sciences. Who knows what they are? Asbab Nuzul. Asbab Nuzul. This is with regards to the Quran. The reasons for the revelation. Asbab Nuzul al-Ayah. The scholars, they say Asbab Nuzul al-Ayah. The reason for the revelation of the verse. As for the hadith, what did they call? Asbab Wurud al-Hadith. Wurud al-Hadith. This is the terminology of the people of knowledge. So the ayat, some of them have asbab li nuzuliha. And the hadith, some of them have asbab li wurudiha. Li wurudiha. And so the ayats, they're revealed. And there are some of them that have reasons for the revelation of them. And the narrations, likewise, sometimes there are circumstances and events that occurred that led up to the narration being narrated, and for the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam to mention specific statements. So this any event here, it occurred, and the Prophet, he mentioned this statement sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and likewise the revelation was revealed with regards to this verse. It has come in Bukhari and in Muslim that Al-Ash'ath ibn Qais radiyallahu anhu, he mentioned after the narrator who narrated this narration on Ibn Mas'ud radiallahu anhu, Ash'ath ibn Qais, he mentioned, he said, this verse was revealed because of me. This verse was revealed because of me. He said that he was in Yemen and he had some land that had a bi'r, a well on the land, that he shared that land with the well on it with a Jewish person. And then whenever it's time for him to get his right, the Jewish man denied him his right. And he tried to claim that the property is his in entirety, and that he had no share of that. So he brought it to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and the Prophet told him, he said, to bring a bayina. He said, ha laka min bayina. Do you have any proof? And he told the companion, Al-Ash'ath ibn Qais radiallahu anhu, do you have any proof that that's your will, and that you own part of that land? Do you have that this is part of your land? He said, no, I don't have no proof. And he said, no, I don't have no proof. I don't have any proof to verify that. And then so he told the Jewish man, فَعَلَيْهِ الْحَلِفِ. and that he should swear, that he has to swear now, that it's not his land. So then Al-Ash'ath ibn Qais radiallahu anhu, he said, if that's the case, O Prophet, then he's going to swear. Even yahlif. And he said, the man's going to swear. He'll lie and take my right. And then this, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he mentioned this narration here. مَنْ حَلَفَ عَلَى مَالِ مْرِئٍ مُسْلِمٍ بِغَيْرِ حَقِّهِ لَقِيَ اللَّهَ وَهُوَ عَلَيْهِ غَبَّانٍ. That whoever takes, whoever swears by Allah to take the right of a Muslim person, then to take the property of a Muslim person without right, then he will meet Allah when he's angry with him. And then likewise, this verse was revealed. And then likewise, this verse, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he recited this verse. So no doubt, again, this is something that's very dangerous. A person, he will not accustom himself to always swearing. Wallahi, I did this, or wallahi, I didn't do that. Or wallahi, he did this, and wallahi, he didn't do that. And no doubt, there's a type of yameen that's called al-lawul yameen. And it's whenever any person, he's always saying, wallahi this, wallahi that. Wallahi this, wallahi that. Always swearing by Allah, he did this and he didn't do that. And he doesn't necessarily mean that he's swearing by Allah about these affairs. He just accustomed himself and to always talk like that. And he's not trying to emphasize any of the statement and the likes like this, but he winds up falling into these affairs. And this one he's not held accountable for. And he's the one who's, but it's blameworthy. And it's blameworthy to always swear and the likes like this. Wallahi, I didn't do this, and wallahi, I did that. And he's just somebody who's swearing it all the time. This is something that is blameworthy. And this is something that is not recommended. Rather, a person, he should only swear whenever he needs to. He would only swear whenever he needs to emphasize his speech or to verify his speech and the likes like this. But what is intended here at Yamin al-Ghamus is whenever he swears intentionally. He swears intentionally and he's lying. And he swears intentionally to take that right or to prohibit that right while he is lying. So this is what is intended here. This is a major affair. So any wahfadu aymanakum. Allah, he mentions that you should preserve your swears, your oaths. And you should be cautious about that affair. So you're not swearing all the time, not any taking these affairs lightly. If a person, he needs to emphasize any of his statement, somebody didn't believe him, or he just wants to emphasize any of the fact of something, then he can swear by Allah Azza wa Jalla, wallahi. And he will say it like that. But only whenever it's needed, and only whenever it's beneficial. And a person, he shouldn't take the affair lightly. He shouldn't take the affair lightly. The author, he says, وَلِي مُسْلِمٍ عَنْ أَبِي أُمَامَةَ رَضِيَ اللَّهُ عَنْهُ مَرْفُوعًا مَنْ اَقْتَطَعَ حَقَّ بِرِئٍ مُسْلِمٍ بِغَيْرِ حَقٍ لَقِيَ اللَّهَ وَهُوَ عَلَيْهِ غَضْبَانٍ وَفِي رِوَايَةٍ فَقَدْ أَوْجَبَ اللَّهُ لَهُ النَّارُ وَحَرَّمَ عَلَيْهِ الْجَنَّةِ فَقَالَ رَجُلٌ وَإِنْ كَانَ شَيْئًا يَسِيرًا يَا رَسُولَ اللَّهِ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ قَالَ وَإِنْ كَانَ قَضِيبًا مِنْ أَرَاكَ وَإِنْ كَانَ قَضِيبًا مِنْ أَرَاكَ. The author, he says, also it has been narrated by a Muslim from the hadith of Abi Umamata رضي الله عنه that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, مَنْ اَقْتَطَعَ حَقَّ اِمْرِئٍ مُسْلِمٍ بِغَيْرِ حَقٍّ لَقِيَ اللَّهَ وَعَلَيْهِ غَضْبَانٍ. The one who has taken the right of a Muslim person unlawfully, then he will meet Allah while he's angry with him. Then he will meet Allah while he's angry with him. The author, he says, in one wording or in one narration, then verily, indeed, Allah has made obligatory for him the hellfire and made impermissible for him the paradise. And he's the one who takes the right of another Muslim, yani unlawfully. The one who takes the right of a Muslim, of a person, again, yani a person in general, unlawfully, then Allah has made obligatory for him to enter the fire. You know, the punishment is obligatory for him. And that a man, he said, even if it's something small, even if it's only something small, he only took something small, he didn't take nothing major. And he, O Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, even if it's a stick of Iraq. Iraq is what the tree that they get the miswak from. So meaning even if he took unlawfully, unrightfully, the miswak of somebody. And that's the meaning of the narration. Somebody's miswak. He took it unlawfully and unrightfully, then this is the threat. فَقَدْ أَوْجَبَ اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ النَّارُ وَحَرَّمَ عَلَيْهِ الْجَنَّةِ. Then Allah had made it obligatory for him to enter the fire. It's an obligation for him to enter the fire. Of course, unless he repented before he dies. And the paradise will be made impermissible for him. in the paradise will be made impermissible for him. On this particular chapter, there is a few errors in the print. The first one is that here it says number 2 for the footnote, and then number 3. Actually, the number 2 that goes on the narration before that. And so the number 2 should go after where it says the verse, after it says the verse, because that's the narration, that's muttafaqun alayhi, and that's the number of that narration. And as for number 3, then it should go where number 2 is. We understand that? So number 2 here is the footnote for that actually belongs on the hadith of Ibn Mas'ud radiallahu anhu. As for the footnote of number 3, that belongs where number 2 is, where it says number 2, which is the footnote for the hadith of Abi Umama radiallahu anhu. And then here, in this particular wording of the author, it says here, وَلِي مُسْلِمٍ عَنْ أَبِي هُرَيْرَةَ عَنْ أَبِي أُمَامَةَ رَضِيَ اللَّهُ عَنْهُ. And then here, مَنْ اَخْتَطَعَ حَقَّ مِرْءٍ مُسْلِمٍ بِغَيْرِ حَقٍّ لَقِيَ اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ غَضْبًا وَفِي رِوَايَةٍ. And then he mentioned here, actually this portion here, لَقِيَ اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ غَضْبًا. This right here is not found in Sahih Muslim. This is not found in Sahih Muslim. It's not in the narration of Abi Umama. This particular hadith and this circumstance here, or the similar narration, has been narrated from more than one companion. From them here we have Ibn Mas'ud, and likewise Abi Umama. As for the wording of Abi Umama, then that's found in Sahih Muslim. It says, مَنْ اَخْتَطَعَ حَقِّ مَرِئِ مُسْلِمٍ بِيَمِينِهِ فَقَدْ أَوْجَبَ اللَّهُ لَهُ النَّارِ وَحَرَّمَ عَلَيْهِ الْجَنَّةِ فَقَالَ لَهُ رَجُلٌ وَإِنْ كَانَ شَيْئًا يَسِيرًا يَا رَسُولَ اللَّهِ قَالَ وَإِنْ كَانَ خَضِيبًا مِنْ أَرَاكٍ. This is the wording that's in Sahih Muslim. This is any more suitable for the chapter title, بِيَمِينِهِ. مَنْ اَخْتَطَعَ حَقِّ مْرِئٍ مُسْلِمٍ بِيَمِينِهِ. Because of his oath. So the actual wording of that is mentioned in Sahih Muslim from the hadith of Abi Humama رضي الله عنه, is that مَنْ اِخْتَطَعَ حَقِ مْرِئٍ مُسْلِمٍ بِيَمِينِهِ. And he will add that part there after the word Muslim, بِيَمِينِهِ. And then the rest of that narration here is not found inside Muslim. But what is found there is whenever he says وَفِي رِوَايَةٍ. It's وَفِي رِوَايَةٍ. So that which is in Sahih Muslim again, مَنْ اِخْتَطَعَ حَقِ مْرِئٍ مُسْلِمٍ بِيَمِينِهِ فَقَدْ أَوْجَبَ اللَّهُ لَهُ النَّارِ. That whoever takes the right of a Muslim person by his oath, بِيَمِينِهِ يعني بِيَمِينِهِ الْكَاذِبَ, by his false oath, and he swearing by Allah falsely, then indeed Allah has obligated for him to enter the hellfire, or the punishment of the, has made the punishment of the hellfire obligatory for him, and has made the paradise impermissible for him. فَقَالَ لَهُ رَجُلٌ. And then a man, he said to him, وَإِنْ كَانَ شَيْئًا يَسِيرًا يَا رَسُولَ اللَّهِ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ, even if it's something light or small, O Messenger of Allah, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, qala وَإِنْ كَانَ قَضِيبًا مِنْ أَرَاكٍ. قَضِيبًا يعني عُودًا. مِنْ أَرَاكٍ يعني مِنْ السِّوَاكٍ. And even if it was a small piece of wood, يعني meaning of siwak, even if it was a small piece of siwak, then this would be the ruling for him. This would be the one who swears by Allah Azza wa Jal to take the right of a Muslim, even if it's to take a piece of miswak from him unlawfully. Even if it's to take a piece of miswak from him unlawfully, this is the threat that Allah has made obligatory for him to enter the hellfire. This is an indication of the great right and the honor of a Muslim. The great right and the honor of a Muslim specifically. And that is not allowed to violate his right, not even in something small. Not even something small, not even with something, for example, a piece of wood or a miswak. You can't violate his rights, not even with something like this. So how about something that is greater than that? So this is a dangerous affair. This is a dangerous affair. I tried to find this wording like this, because the author, he mentioned that it come like this, and then in one wording it's like that. Yani, but as for in Sahih Muslim, then it's exactly how I mentioned. And I checked the best print that I'm aware of is Taba'a Sultaniya. And even other prints I checked likewise, and all of them, they have only one narration of the Hadith Abi Umama is the way that I mentioned it. So I looked to see possibly where this mistake came from, because also I looked in other prints of this work, and three different prints, and all of them they have the exact same wording, and then that the author, he mentioned it like this. So I thought about it, and I checked in Al-Kabair by Al-Dhahabi, by Al-Dhahabi, and he has the same chapter and it has the same narration in the same manner. So wallahu alam, I was thinking that possibly the author, he had followed Al-Dhahabi with regards to transmitting this narration in this manner like this. Or possibly Al-Dhahabi had a print of Sahih Muslim that's a bit different than what is available for us today, and Allah knows best. In any case, this is the narration, and according to Sahih Muslim, من اقتطع حق امرئ مسلم بيمينه بيمينه, the one who took the right of a Muslim person by his false oath, by swearing by Allah falsely, فقد أوجب الله له النار فقد أوجب الله له النار وحرم عليه الجنة. This is very dangerous again, because now this person is swearing by Allah in this manner and making it appear that person, he does not have a right. And he's making, the one who has a right, he's making it look like he has no right. And the one who has no right, he's making it appear that he has a right by swearing by Allah falsely, swearing in the name of Allah. So even this is very severe. And some people, they take these affairs lightly, and they will do that. And they swear by Allah, and they take the right of their brother easy. They swear by Allah, and they take the right of their brother easy like it's nothing. But this is the great threat with regards to that. So this is a very dangerous affair that the believers, they should take caution and precaution from. That a person, he will not swear by Allah Azza wa Jal except whenever he needs to. And if he swears by Allah Azza wa Jal, he will be truthful. And he will never strive and work diligently to take the right of another Muslim, or even another non-Muslim. Even another non-Muslim, a believer, he will never do the likes of these affairs. Taking the rights of others is not from the attribute of a believer. Rather, the attribute of the believer is that he recognizes the rights of others and he gives them their rights. And he speaks the truth, even if it's against his own soul. Ya ayyuhalladhina amanu, kunu qawwamina lillahi shuhada bilqist, wa la yajrimannakum shana'anu qawmin ala alla ta'dilu aydilu. So this is the case here. A believer, he fears Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. After this, the author, he mentioned the chapter, Babu ma ja'a fi qadhfi al-muhsanat, the chapter with regards to falsely accusing the chaste and pious women with fornication. And inshallah, we take this chapter and the next class, bi'idhnillahi ta'ala. Any questions or comments? No kafara. Al-yamin al-ghamus has no kafara. Al-yamin al-ghamus doesn't have a kafara. There's no kafara, there's no expiation, except for to repent. And if he took somebody's right unlawfully, then he'll have to give it back. And so here, any of the repentance for this particular issue, if he swore by Allah, and then he took somebody's right by that, then he has to repent from that. And likewise, from the repentance here, is to return the right, or to be pardoned from that person. To return the right of that person, or to be pardoned. Because tawbah requires for a person to be sincere and truthful. And then he should have remorse and regret that he had perpetrated the sin. And then he must leave it and turn away from it, and have strong resolve and determination not to fall back into it. This is the general ruling for all. For repentance from all sins. But if it involves the right of a human being, then now they have to return that right, or at least have the pardon of that person. And before they die, before the person dies or before they die, he must either return them their right back, or that person must pardon them and forgive them, or else he will be held accountable for that on the day of resurrection. So as for al-yamin al-ghamus, there's no kafara. If a person, he made an oath to do something, or to not do something and the likes like this, and then he did it, he will make a kafara. Kafara til hinth. Or even if he made an oath to not do something and then he thought that it's better for him to do it, it's allowed likewise, but to break his oath, but he must make the kafara. But here, with the al-yamin al-ghamus, there's no kafara for that. This is more severe than that. And that he took somebody's right unlawfully by swearing by Allah Azza wa Jal. نعم الله knows best. والله أعلم. هذا وصلى الله على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم.